Love It or Leave It is brought to you by Built. It's 2026, and if you're still paying rent without Built, it's time for a change. Built is a loyalty program for renters that rewards you for your biggest monthly expense, the rent. With Built, every rent payment earns you points that can be used toward flights, hotels, Lyft rides, Amazon.com purchases, and so much more. And here's something to get excited about. Now, Built members can earn points on mortgage payments for the first time. That means you can get rewarded wherever you live and unlock exclusive benefits from more than 45,000 restaurants, fitness studios, pharmacies, and other neighborhood partners. I'd redeem my points for a fitness class. You can go to Barry's. You can go to bar class at Pure Bar. I've never done bar classes, but somebody here at the office was saying I should give it a shot. I think it's a lot of squats on your toes. And I'm interested in seeing what that's like. You can get home delivery through GoPuff. You can get Amazon. You can get Lyft rides. So there's a lot you can do. And it's simple. Paying rent is better with Built. And now owning a home can be better with Built too. Earn rewards and get something back wherever you live. Join the loyalty program for renters at joinbuilt.com/loveit. That's joinbuilt.com/loveit. Make sure you use our URL so they know we sent you.
Hey y'all, Sam Sanders here. It's finally awards season. But year-round, we celebrate the best in film, TV, and pop culture and share the real stories behind all of it. Like the legendary costume designer Ruth E. Carter, who helped bring Sinners to life. Or the wonderful actor and newly crowned Emmy winner Jeff Hiller. Plus, the songwriter behind K-pop Demon Hunters, Mark Sonnenblick. Catch up on your awards season faves every week on The Sam Sanders Show. Listen in the KCRW app, wherever you get your podcast, and on YouTube.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
I have both been in your car, Kennedy's, where you were making a left-hand turn across four lanes of traffic, and you're like, wow, how'd this happen? I'm like, what are you talking about? You know where the lights are.
The show has already begun. Hi, Celeste. Welcome to a very special Love It or Leave It episode. As you listen to this, me and the Pod Save America crew, we're on our two-week Australia-New Zealand tour, but we didn't want to didgeridoo you all dirty by leaving you with nothing to listen to, so I'm sitting here with two of my favorite flat whites for a bit of mailbag. Mailbag. For a bit of mailbag.
Great. What are our names?
Oh, that's right. It's Hallie Kiefer.
Hi.
And Sarah Lazarus.
Hello.
Love It or Leave It is only one podcast. And with the amount of news we are trying to cover, we can't get to it all. So for today's episode, we wanted to take you through some of our favorite stories that we didn't feel like we gave enough attention to on the show before we get to some interesting questions and topics from Friends of the Pod in the Discord around Valentine's Day, because this show is coming on Valentine's Day.
Yeah. How romantic.
Happy Valentine's Day. Happy Galentine's Day.
Just missed it.
Galentine's Day.
I do celebrate Galentine's Day with the gals. It's important.
Do you believe that Galentine's Day is a conspiracy against men by corporations trying to convince women that they don't need a relationship to be happy?
I don't think the corporations, if that's what they're doing, they don't need to. The corporations do not need to have to put money behind that. I think it's from an episode of Parks and Rec. So
it's not the corporations at all.
I guess hypothetically NBC could be behind it.
It's this big Amy Poehler.
Yeah.
Oh, that's where it's from, Galentine's Day?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They go to get pancakes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any friends that are girls.
Wow, hurtful.
But to be fair, you don't have any friends that are boys either.
Friendly colleagues. Some friendly colleagues, that's for sure.
And that's true. If you don't have any friends, then you don't have any friends of either gender. So it's fair.
That's right. But first, the news. All right, here's a story I wanted to talk about, all right? When Zoran Mamdani, you know him, became mayor of New York.
Love him.
He mentioned that he wanted to update Gracie Mansion to have bidets.
Obsessed.
bidets. And this caused a little bit of a mini controversy about bidets. Mm-hmm. And he then did a sit-down interview more recently with ABC News 7. That's the local affiliate, ABC 7, that I used to watch growing up. And when he elaborated, he said he was looking to add water guns on the side of the toilet, kind of a cheap addition, like a $25 addition, to make the toilets have bidet-like features.
One thing that we will change is we will be installing a few bidets into Gracie Mansion. That's an aspirational hope. We'll see if we can actually get it done.
The only other thing I'll tell you is that I was asked if we would make any changes. I just mentioned that, you know, we might install a few bidets in Gracie Mansion.
Never been there before.
You know, they're like a $25 water gun that you hook on the side of a toilet. And we actually got a lot of bidet companies who reached out to us to offer their help in installation.
But sure they do.
We're fine.
Well, the economy could help you.
Yes, we're not in the pocket of big bidet.
So it's like, no, don't worry. I want terrible bidets.
Right, right. And I appreciate that he's...
No, don't worry. Don't worry. It'll be the worst bidets.
They're not going to work out of all the market.
So, so
it's
first
be worse
of all,
than not having a bidet.
Yeah, two bidets.
I do think that's like, there's many styles of bidets. There's the kind of full-on...
Yeah, lay them out for us.
There's the full-on bidet to the side of the toilet.
Yes.
I learned through my research that that word means pony. Because you pony, because you, the way you sit on it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because you sit on it kind of like a saddle.
Right.
Where you wash out your...
We've all used the bathroom on top of a horse.
We've all sat on ponies, yeah.
Yeah. Right. We've all sat on ponies. Sarah's a horse girl. Then there's the Toto Japanese style.
Right. Like the full toilet.
The full toilet.
Oh, that's what I want for them.
Then there's the kind of basin. There's the basin style where there's a kind of a water to the side of the toilet that you can use to pour.
I don't know if that's fair.
And then this is the water gun style that I kind of associate with that style as well.
Okay.
But there's also the things you can add to toilets. You can just add a small attachment to the toilet to turn your toilet into a bidet. And I hope that Zoran Mamdani, as he is on so many issues, is sort of providing an opening to imagine a better future in which America finally and fully embraces the fact that dry toilet paper is perhaps not the best way to go about dealing with the grossest thing that we deal with on a daily basis.
You know what I mean? Depending on where, there's a lot of variables. And so it's nice to have something else to help you with it. I will say, and maybe this was a concern in the Gracie Mansion as a historical building, that I've seen at least two TikToks where people talk about installing a bidet to the toilet in their apartment and basically breaking all the plumbing in the building. Because it turns out there's some setup where you cannot do that. They did not ask permission. And then they, of course, have to explain. I did break all the toilets. Yes, I'm so sorry. So
that'd be a great first mayoral scandal. You break all of New York City's plumbing.
Trump said the Epstein Files that it's like we're mad at him because he got the bidets are either too nice or too cheap.
Yeah.
You got to get just right bidet.
I have a feeling that anyone who's actually mad at him about this might have started mad about already. Actually, Rudy Giuliani's daughter, Caroline Rose, commented that she, according to the Times, that she would have done it myself if she had known about bidets when she lived there. Does not surprise me that Rudy Giuliani was not ahead of his time.
I think he would reject it. I think he would not be able to engage
with
it.
Yeah, it's sort of gay somehow.
It would be gay.
I wonder when Rudy Giuliani's daughter first found out about bidets. Was this how she found out what a bidet is?
When I was renting, I installed one of those additional, like kind of a bring your own bidet.
A BYO
bidet to the top of the toilet. It so transformed my experience of being alive on Earth.
Great.
That I became obsessed with giving them as gifts. And it is an intimate gift.
But we're all shitting.
Because we are all shitting. But you do have to ask people what kind of toilet they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because I didn't understand this, Bill, that basically like some toilets are the kind of round kind and then some are kind of go more out.
Round.
They're sort of like, there's like the round bowl and then there's kind of the ovular, kind of longer long bowl and the short bowl, depending on your toilet. And so you have to kind of know what kind of toilet your friend or family member has before you buy them this as a gift. So it takes the element of surprise. So you have to text them and say,
you could just be asking me that.
And the thing about it is when you ask somebody what kind of toilet they have, they don't know. Like right now, do you know if you have a long toilet or a short toilet?
If you asked me what kind of toilet I had, I'd say, please don't talk to me outside of work. And also, no, I have no idea.
I also would not assume it's to get me a gift. It's just a question you have.
Hey, tell me about, Sarah, tell me about your toilet. I want to know about your toilet.
You guys talked to Lovett about what the toilet situation.
Hey, I mean to ask you guys, what kind of toilet you have at home?
I drew all the different kinds of toilets, just point. I took all the work out of it for you. Round, pointy, backwards.
Backwards? Hole in the ground?
Hole above the ground? Hole in the roof? Horse?
Just attach the ceiling?
I will say, this made me want to get a bidet. I do not have one. However, I do live in like one of those like 100-year-old LA bungalows where our pipes are constantly breaking. And I know if I got one, it would break. And then all my neighbors would know.
It was like, look, I don't do much plumbing. It was intense in setting up the thing. And I thought I had maybe done it wrong. But then, oh boy, I got it right.
Really
paid off. In my building, my neighbors, we share a bathroom wall. And they had a clog in their sink. And so they had a plumber come to snake it. And the snake came up through my sink.
Oh no, that's a frightening.
That's where
thing.
I live.
Did you had and there's you because you when I've when the snake comes up through the wrong pipe, it's like you want to tell the snake, but you can't tell the snake. You
he
have to
know.
Find the person at the other side. I mean, I guess given that there is a person on the other side, it's not a great option. But you could just grab it and try to send a message through it.
Sure.
I don't think you do that gesture very
many
times.
Did you do that? Did you grab the snake?
No. I texted my landlord.
Texted your landlord? But that's got to go to the landlord.
He's responsive.
Oh, he was responsive. Yeah. And then it has to get to the plumber, whoever's doing the snaking.
Yeah.
It's a dangerous time when the snake's in your apartment.
For a second, did you see it and think that it might actually be a real snake?
No.
Okay. Well, phew.
I could tell it was metal.
A metal snake? I mean,
sort of making metallic sounds.
Well, good. I'm glad.
Anyway, good for Mayor Zohran Mamdani for encouraging people to embrace what a lot of the rest of the world had figured out a long time ago, which is you should get it a little bit wet.
Yeah.
You know, when trying to deal with the thing we all do.
Get it a little wet.
And maybe we got to talk about it. Maybe we got to talk about it.
I think we're doing the right thing.
Because the adoption rate is still very low here in the U.S. Get one for the office. We should get one for the office.
Just one, though.
Just one. And it's in the conference room. All right. And that is Zohran Mamdani and the bidets.
Hey, we did it. Right. I'm excited about the next topic.
Yeah. I would like to talk about the Trump administration's new mascot, Coley, who we learned about from a Doug Burgum tweet last month.
If we could
see the photo of that tweet. So this is Interior Secretary Doug Burgum, who posted this obviously AI-generated photo of himself with Coley, who is an adorable lump of coal wearing mining gear, I guess.
It's so funny.
And really his tweet says, "Mine may be mine. POTUS made it a top priority for Interior to unleash beautiful, clean coal, and OSMRE is leading the charge. Learn more about how OSMRE is advancing POTUS's American energy dominance agenda from their new spokesperson, Coley."
This is wild.
It's sort of like the M&Ms where it's like our happiness will come from Coley's demise.
Yes.
Like Coley's excited to be incinerated to create power.
And you want to fuck that coal.
Mm. Oh, you mean the sexy green M&M. Yeah, I want to have sex with her. Coley feels too childlike.
Yeah, Coley's a baby.
Coley's not even wearing high heels. So.
Right, yeah, I agree.
One thing I learned, so this agency that they mentioned... I'm just going to, we got to keep,
yeah,
we got to
no,
move
no,
right
gotta,
past
keep
this.
Going,
we
keep
can't
going.
Keep talking about one about Coley. So this agency is the Office of Surface Mining Reclamation and Enforcement. It is a very obscure bureau that handles like regulating coal mines and cleaning up polluted old mining land. Coley has been like an inside joke at this bureau since 2018 when their social media manager created this photo of a lump of coal wearing googly eyes. And it has since had a few evolutions. But it's become this mascot at this bureau to sort of try to explain what they do because no one knows about them. And it has now been co-opted by the Trump administration to make us love coal.
Yeah. Do you remember there was the Simpsons episode where he discovers his face is on a Japanese box and it turns out it's the kind of spokes creature for some sort of behemoth
conglomerate. Yeah. So it was like a cleaning product and then a fishery.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
And then it fused together to make Homer's head.
Yeah, it reminds me a little bit of that. Like, and also it is just a 30 Rock joke. We're kind of living in the kind of whatever consciousness of that show somehow.
And I know this isn't the point of it, but I do like the first Coley better, where it looks like an actual piece of coal.
The first Coley was perfect. It's only gotten worse. Also, the Coley that Doug Burgum tweeted looks different from the most recent Coley. Like, that is just his AI version.
What's well, not even the AI real Coley. Is you literally can't do the same one. Like, it would require them to, like, take the image and then actually do something with it. And they're like, we're not going
to
do that.
The other thing I want to note is that, according to the Washingtonian, in-house animators also plan to bring Coley to life, making him dance, ride around on trucks, and potentially perform a signature song.
Wow. That's something to look forward to. Yeah, what a bleak time we're living through.
Who do you think Coley should do the song with?
Nicki Minaj, probably.
Yes, 100%, yes.
I mean, the line is, the list of names is pretty short. You have Nicki Minaj, you do Kid Rock, but I do think Nicki Minaj would
be great. You're absolutely right.
So the coal mines for itself. This is a lump of coal wearing a headlamp and a vest.
Sort of advocating for his kind to be burned in our cars.
Right. Well, it's interesting because it's a piece of harvest. It's a lump of coal that's been removed from underground. And so what is Coley? So if you had a bigger chunk, is that one big Coley? Mm. But if you broke it in half, would it become two Coleys?
Multi-Coley.
How many lumps before you have, how small does a lump have to be before it is a Coley? When did his consciousness emerge, or her consciousness, or their consciousness?
Thank you.
When did Coley's consciousness emerge? Does it emerge upon becoming a lump?
I think when they put the eyes on.
When they put the eyes on.
Yeah.
When they put the eyes on.
So that all determines, whenever you put the eyes on, that's Coley.
So here what you're saying is, there is coal.
Yeah.
And Coley becomes sentient when the eyes are applied. What is the experience of Coley like? Does Coley, because Coley has language. Coley has interests and desires. Are those surprising to Coley? What memories can Coley root its hopes in? Because it just came to be when the eyes were there.
Yeah.
I mean, it seems like there might be some kind of collective memory, a sense memory of being Cole.
I think Coley can only feel shame.
Coley seeks Coley's own death. I feel like Coley has a big smile on their
face.
But
what is it hiding, you know? What is he making up for?
Yeah. A lot to think about with Coley.
I like the second one, too.
Why is Coley wearing Mickey Mouse-style gloves?
I did find a quote from Junior Walk, who's an Appalachian activist who documents the impact of the coal industry in West Virginia, who told The Guardian, as climate change plunges us deeper into the mass extinction event that we are all living through, and more of my friends and neighbors get sick and die as a direct result of the activities in the coal industry, I will continue to be haunted by Coley's twisted grin and uncanny eyes.
Kind of a downer, that guy.
Wow.
Yeah.
Kind of not really embracing the Coley spirit.
I'm right there. He's not into it.
Yeah.
That's how I feel about it.
And that's Coley.
Yay! Great.
All right, let's pause it there, and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by Quince. A well-built wardrobe is about clothes that work together and hold up over time. It said pieces there, dear listener, and I'm not saying pieces anymore for clothes because I want you to know that I don't talk that way. And so you can know this ad is real because Quince is great. They make clothes. They call them pieces. We call them clothes. Premium materials, thoughtful design, everyday staples that feel easy to wear and easy to rely on, even as the weather shifts. Quince has everyday essentials I genuinely love with quality that lasts. Organic cotton sweaters. I have one. Great. Polos for every occasion. Lighter jackets that keep you warm in the changing seasons. The list goes on. I have the sheets. The sheets are great. Got a lot of great stuff from Quince. Everything is built to hold up to daily wear and still look good season after season. Plus, they only partner with factories that meet rigorous standards for craftsmanship and ethical production. And because they work with top factories, they cut out the middlemen, so you're not paying for brand markup, just quality clothing. Again, I'm a huge fan of Quince. Go to quince.com/loveit for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/loveit. Free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/loveit. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Even though February is often filled with constant reminders of romance, navigating your personal connections isn't always simple, is it? It's okay if you're feeling a bit lost. Regardless of your relationship status, therapy provides a space to cut through the noise, helping you find your balance and gain some much-needed perspective. In other words, it's a place where you can crash out.
That's right.
Because you're alone on Valentine's Day. Or maybe because you're not alone and wish you were. Or maybe because you're not sure what you want. BetterHelp's quality therapists work according to a strict code of conduct and are fully licensed in the U.S. BetterHelp does the initial matching work for you so you can focus on your therapy goals. A short questionnaire helps identify your needs and preferences, and their 12 plus years of experience and industry-leading match fulfillment rate means they typically get it right the first time. If you aren't happy with your match, switch to a different therapist at any time from their tailored recs. With over 30,000 therapists, BetterHelp is the world's largest online therapy platform, having served over 6 million people globally, and it works with an average rating of 4.9 out of 5 for a live session based on over 1.7 million client reviews. Sign up and get 10% off at betterhelp.com/loveit. That's better, HELP.com/loveit. Okay, we're back.
Well, mine is maybe a little bit more of a downer than these other two. And that is, of course, there was a profile of Nancy Mace in New York Magazine this week, the title of which is "Nancy Mace is Not Okay." And then the lead is a quote from one of the staffers, all anonymous. "Something's broken. The motherboard's fried. We're short-circuiting somewhere." And it's just sort of a breakdown of, well, her breakdown. And I would describe her as if Norma Desmond was a congresswoman. And it is interesting. There's sort of like it is like a white conservative woman's breakdown. You know what I mean? I feel like we've had, I think of like John Fetterman. You know what I mean? Sort of had a similar article where it's like sort of like breaking down. So there's not really a ton of surprises in here. The only surprise is things have gotten worse. Because, like, obviously she's had, like, last February 2025, which, remember, that was, less than a month after Trump took office, it was flood the zone. She went onto the floor of Congress to accuse her ex-fiancé of filming her, assaulting her, and he has since sued. But technically speaking, presumably, according to this profile, what she's using is, like, technically because she's on the floor of Congress, she's actually immune. Yeah. From like the defamation suit.
Yeah, she can say whatever she wants on
that. So she's very smart. And that's the other thing. It's like she's an incredibly smart person. It's just that her intelligence is sort of spiraling out. And then in October of this last year, she had sort of a meltdown at an airport where it was mostly her berating people and sort of like accusing them of being terrible at their jobs at the airport.
She was accusing the police.
Yes, both the TSA and police. She has, of course, tried to say that it didn't happen. There's video of it happening. And there's also a House Ethics Committee inquiry about her using her staff for her gubernatorial race in South Carolina, where she is doing not very well. And I just want to read some of the staffing quotes. These are all anonymous. Again, there's something broken. Another quote, "Back then, she came across as a breath of fresh air, and then I got into the office. And after 6 months, I was like, man, this is one of the worst people I've ever met. I'm going to move back to South Carolina." And the third staffer, "The closer you get to her, the harder she messes up your brain. It's the classic story of never meet your heroes."
Yeah.
And they sort of outline what she's done. And I think they're all exactly what you think. She had staffers running out to buy her liquor, clean her Airbnb, sort of do these tasks, sort of having a volatile workspace, flying into rages, threatening them, refusing to like give them raises and stuff. And then we get to the thing that really just sat heavy on me, which again is not a surprise, but I just wanted to read this more the grim moments. Quote, "She was obsessed with monitoring her reputation online, in addition to reportedly having her staff create burner accounts to defend her. Mace allegedly instructed a staffer to go on Reddit forums about, quote, the hottest women in Congress to boost her standing in the rankings and comment where needed. Mace was, quote, very adamant about getting the staffer to upvote any posts about the congresswoman and her attractiveness."
That's like what you make us do.
Right, exactly.
I know, look, we joke. But obviously, Nancy, if you want to create burner accounts and have your own standing upvoted on various forums, that's just work you have to do at home in the night.
Yes.
That no one can know about. Like, obviously, that's not something I could ask Hallie or Sarah to
do. Not at this point.
I don't think that they could stop themselves from telling people how funny it is because it's so funny.
Yeah.
So I can't have them do that. So that's the kind of thing hypothetically I would have to do myself.
I'd tell everyone in the world if you made us do that. That would have to be your 5 to 9 after 9 to 5. You would have to get home and then every night get on and just
open 500 different laptops.
Yeah, that's why I'm always, that's why I got these bags in red. I'm just so tired from my second shift.
What are you doing? I just want to talk about this because I feel like...
I disagree. Tommy isn't my favorite. Lovett's my favorite.
I want to marry Lovett. I don't want to kill him of the three. The thing that really stuck out to me, because also, like, she is someone who, like, is very smart, like Trump, where basically it's like she basically had a quota for her staff to, like, get her on TV appearances every month. she, on January 6th, had a quote talking to them where, like, she wanted to get punched in the face on camera to, like, get more attention. And I'm like, that's actually very smart in, like, a Trump sort of way. And I think, and I don't know if this is sort of how I think about Tucker Carlson, it's like, it seems like she was playing a character, and now she has become the character. And I think for conservatives, like, that is just sort of what has to happen. Like, in order to double down, like, she has become this, like, insane version of Nancy Mace, like, the illusion and the performance, they've merged. And now she kind of, that's all she has. And what's interesting about her is that she actually has taken one good stand, which is she voted for the release of the Epstein files back in November. And that is probably why she's not going to get Trump's endorsement for the governor's race, is that she has one shred of dignity or integrity left. And that is what you can't have when you are trying to court Trump.
Yeah, it's interesting. Vonnegut line is, you are what you pretend to be, so you should be careful about what you pretend to be. It's kind of dances around whether or not she has a DSM-style mental illness you could look up in a book.
Yeah.
Or if she's just, like, it's sort of, like, the Nancy Mace discourse is, like, she's, you know, is she small-c crazy?
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way we say that women are crazy sometimes while also being a bad person?
Yes.
Or is there a kind of, like, whispered mental illness that they seem to be implying or suggesting or rumoring about all the time?
And here's my psychoanalysis of Nancy Mace, which is that this, unfortunately, we're at a point in society where I think being a powerful white conservative woman, it might as well look like a mental illness. Like, she has achieved a level of power, but she doesn't actually have power in her own life. Again, the ex-fiancé, she doesn't really have power. Like, she can't really run herself as a candidate without Trump. And it's interesting because I feel like she is, perhaps more than anyone in Congress, and it continues to be now, so insanely transphobic. And to me, that is, like, a point that a lot of white, cis, conservative women arrive at that I think is almost like, it's the trans women specifically, but trans people, but, like, trans women specifically, it's almost like they're the group that you perceive as a threat, when in reality, they're, like, one of the groups that, like, are the only people that have less power than you. And I think, like, being in this powerful position, but yet she can't actually control these things, is almost like she relentlessly has to take out on Sarah McBride, which she is constantly saying horrible things about. She passed, like, the congressional bathroom, that, like, bill, and was like, this is specifically about Sarah McBride. And so I think, unfortunately, it's like, I think it's, like, a lot of people, like, who are trying to describe, like, why are my parents like this? Or, like, there's, like, a conservative, like, behavior where it's, like, she's become sort of, like, separated from reality in a way that I think a lot of conservatives, it kind of just leads you down this path. I don't know what to do about it. Like, I don't know. It's just, like, interesting how all these things, the having someone try to, like, constantly defend her hotness seems like a very important point that I don't know. I don't think it's a mental illness in a traditional sense. I think it's, like, a cultural illness. And she's sort of on the top of it and is still sort of trapped by all these limitations. Being a woman, probably, I mean, I believe that something horrible has happened to her in her personal life. And now it's just sort of, like, exploding out on people around her.
Yeah.
Sorry, less fun than Coley. I there's something about it that really, I don't know. It was interesting.
Yeah, the other part of it, too, is, like, I can't remember what the exact circumstances were, but there was somebody who was actually working with them, and they were really smart. But they just would, like, get in their own way all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in politics. And I remember, like, somebody we all worked for at the time made a comment just almost an aside, which is, like, people's insecurities will beat their intelligence every time. And I do think with someone like this, too, there's, like, so much, there's a lot of whatever anxieties but ambition in there.
Yeah.
And I do think, like, yeah, she is a smart person, mm-hmm. but she's not behaving like a smart person would. Like, obviously, yeah. It is not in your interest as a political figure in South Carolina to berate the law enforcement that are escorting you to your gate because you got angry that they didn't know you were not in the car you said you'd be in. Like, it's a crazy thing to do. But she's clearly, like, sort of off kilter and kind of, like, losing touch with reality because you're a member of Congress and there's always a car waiting and a person waiting and a person who's, like, excited to kind of do your bidding. Sort of, that's also brain-breaking, too, for all these members of Congress.
It's sort of like I always say, people always talk about, like, oh, if I was a billionaire, you would never see me again. I would just go live on an island. It's like, no, if you were a billionaire, you would go insane in the ways that you were insane now. Imagine you now, and then you get $1 billion. Unless you really resolve your stuff, you will end up doing what it, now that it's all the same thing. Like, I don't think you're going to necessarily build an island like Epstein, but like, something happens where you get to a level of power and money. If you don't deal with it, it comes out in whatever way looks like you.
Something I think about a lot is, what is the dollar amount that would make me go insane?
It would have to be, it's going to be a lot for you.
But like, there's some dollar amount that is fine still, and then like $5 more and it's over.
$1 trillion, you go insane.
It's interesting. Like, I think you're right. Like, there are a lot of billionaires or hyper wealthy people who do disappear. They're the people that inherited the money. The people that inherited the money often are very comfortable just being super rich and staying out of the spotlight. There are a lot of them. Some of them are in the Epstein files. Their wealth is more invisible. They're not on Twitter. They're not trying to be famous. They are enjoying their money on the places, on the islands that you can't go to unless you are super rich. To me, the ones we keep hearing about that are it's whatever drove them to be so hyper ambitious, intense, cutthroat to become billionaires, not just to be smart, inventive, creative, very talented people, but to become, to fight to get that amount of wealth. Whatever made them like that, the money doesn't stop that part of their brain.
Right.
But now everything is taken care of for them. They have no friction in their life.
Yeah.
But these are people that desperately want friction. Like, look at Elon Musk. Like, he has everything he could possibly want. He's eliminated all friction from his life. And so he becomes a fucking Twitter troll, white nationalist, internet freak. Why? Because like that broken part of him.
Yeah.
That if things are still, he doesn't feel safe. And I do think like that's why you see these sort of people careening around and getting involved in politics and funding stupid fake universities in Austin and all the other things. It's like there's that broken piece of them that led them to be so ambitious, and they've got to put it somewhere.
Yeah. Let's all work on self-awareness in 2026. I feel like that's a good goal for everyone.
I think at this table, our goal should be less self-awareness.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I think the three of us
could just kind of
drive forward with a little bit more obtuseness.
I need to be 10% stupider in 2026.
I'm too smart. I can't do it, you guys.
Ah, damn it.
Sorry.
We'll be so happy surfing. All right. And Nancy Mace's article in The Intelligencer. Up next, we're going to get into your deepest, darkest Discord comments. But first, heads up, East Coast, Love It or Leave It is coming to Washington, D.C. on April 23rd. We're back at the Lincoln Theater. There are only two signs of spring in Washington, the cherry blossoms, and Love It or Leave It coming to town with a stacked lineup on America's number one late-night political gay live comedy podcast. Also, Janine Pirro switching to Rosé. That's another sign of spring. Tickets are on sale now. Go to crooked.com/events. I always love our D.C. shows. Some of my favorite shows when we come to town for this show now. It's a yearly event. We'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It brought to you by ZBiotics. Let's face it, after a night with drinks, I don't bounce back the next day like I used to. I don't really even bounce. So dead cat bounce.
Yeah,
not much. I have to make a choice. You can either have a great night or a great next day. That is until I found pre-alcohol. ZBiotics pre-alcohol probiotic drink. Is the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of this byproduct, not dehydration. That's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break down this byproduct. Just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night. Drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. We love ZBiotics.
Love it.
Huge fans.
Always use it.
Helps the next day. You have one drink. You have some ZBiotics. Then you have a drink or two. You feel better the next day. It's real. Ready to try it? Go to zbiotics.com/loveit right now. You'll get 15% off your first order when you use code LOVEIT at checkout. Plus, it's backed by a 100% money-back guarantee, so there's no risk. Subscriptions are also available for maximum consistency. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/loveit and use code LOVEIT at checkout for 15% off.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
We'll be right back.
And we're back. All right, lovebirds. Now Hallie is going to guide us through our romantic Valentine's Day Discord omakase with complimentary wine pairing. And yes, that was wine with an H. Hallie, take it away.
It's that time of year again, time to fall in love with our Discord subscribers and their complicated, sweet, and somewhat bizarre love lives. Girl, same. First up, now I'm going to tell this story, but to me this is just an HR violation that Bill has found.
Oh.
We've sort of anonymized some of the details. I work at a factory that makes parts for a car brand. My senior team leader has been trying to hook up with another team member and sent her videos of him, you know. Anyway, once they did the deed, he ghosted her to get back with his ex. So
what?
This to me, I'm like, you have to tell someone about this. It seems to be that this person, who seems to be a senior team leader, mm-hmm. sent a fiddles or fiddle, I'm presuming jacking off. To hook up with a coworker. Unfortunately, it worked, which, boy, I mean, we've all been down bad, but that's tough to read. And then he immediately ghosted her to get back with his ex.
First of all, I can't believe what the word you know is doing there. We don't know. I genuinely don't know.
It's a crazy flirt.
We know.
You think that's what it is? Why? You assume it's... You assume
what else
it's
could it be? 12 years old?
Could it just be videos? Oh, it's videos, not just... Oh, wait.
Send her videos of him, you know.
It's an action. It's a verb.
It's an action.
What do you think it could be if it's not jerking off?
Yeah, I mean, I went through the same thought process of like, what does that mean? And then like, I guess this is the only thing it could mean.
Come on.
Using a bidet? I don't know.
Well, okay, it worked, but also to me, the level of like heavy despair that must hang over this car brand factory. Like, this is like, just imagine your friend telling you this. You're like, girl, what are you talking about? So, and the question that Bill's written is, what's the laziest flirt? It seems like he's doing quite a bit of activity in this flirt,
yeah,
so I don't know.
I mean, that's it. That's a lot of things. Effort. It doesn't seem lazy.
Yeah.
You have to set up a camera,
there's also
get
some
the right angle.
Get the lighting right.
This is from Constant Cupcake. My husband worked at a school where the security guard had given multiple employees, including the principal, the clap!
Wow.
clap, like it's the 50s. We're calling it the clap.
The clap. That's a security guard with a lot of risk. That's cool.
Imagine.
That's cool.
If he, like,
on patrol.
I guess I just don't understand. And like, maybe again, I haven't been out there in a minute, but like, you're having unprotected sex at work with the security guard?
It's not
with
very
anybody?
Secure.
We don't know if they had sex at the school.
Well, no, that wasn't my point. The point is like, they've all contracted. What is clap? Is that chlamydia?
Yeah.
So you're all raw sure. dogging one person at school. Well, you know, I guess God bless. I guess it wasn't really a question. All right, we'll go to the next one.
Wait, we're not.
Well, the questions were, what's the laziest flirt you've ever done? I'm not, that has nothing to do with this. Does it count as ghosting if you see each other every day at work? What do you guys think?
See, my biggest question about this is, why would that video work?
Right.
I think that's why this is sad to me. It's like, because that whoever received it is down, like, they're like, I guess. Like, it's not a joyful moment when you receive that from your coworker. You say, I don't have any other options.
Call the police.
I have to call the police. That's like, this is not fun. This is just an HR violation.
And I just want to say, because I would just like to say, as someone who...
where are we going with this?
Very so delicately scared. And ethically...
Finish the sentence! What are you talking about?
And respectfully...
No! You already said ethically.
Approached even the possibility of dating someone... that I work with.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Where did you think I was going with
it? We didn't know. We were horrified.
You're both going to be at my fucking wedding.
Okay. And, you know what I mean? No, yeah, that's the thing. Like, this is a bummer. Discord, well, I'm sorry. This is a bummer,
Discord. How, I feel like, is it inconceivable? What a swing to send that video is all I'm getting at.
Well, I guess I can only imagine the workplace environment at this factory, which again, I think you have to talk to the union about this situation.
Yeah, the UAW. Yeah, talk to your reps.
Yeah, talk to your reps.
Talk to your
Sean,
reps.
Sean, get in here.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Here's another comment. This is, all right, here we go. This is a comment from Anonymous. All right, shout out to Anonymous. I tried to hard launch my 7-year-long situationship. Now we're no contact, and I'm a 30-year-old woman who's never had a real boyfriend. Help, I guess? I have great news. This is actually good, because clearly you needed to be out of the situationship. So it's good. You made a decision. You said, can we presumably hard launch? I really want people to know that we're dating. This is a real relationship. This person not only dumped your ass, but you went no contact. And it's good. 30, don't worry. As someone over 40, you got plenty of time. And I don't know what help to give this person. Maybe you guys have ideas. But you're starting from a great place, which is you've ended this seven-year-long situationship, and now you get to sort of look for something else.
Yeah, I don't think you're a person until you're 30.
Yeah. Don't worry about it. Your 20s is a wash for everybody.
You tried to hard launch a situationship. There's a lot of missing context inside of that slang, which is you don't hard launch situationships. You hard launch relationships after they stop being a situationship. You have a situationship. Mm-hmm. It becomes a relationship. Then you launch it either softly or hardly.
Yeah.
Hardly. Weird though, hardly doesn't mean hardly. Never thought about
that
before.
Write it down, Bill.
But so it doesn't surprise me that ended in a no contact situation.
I assume she means tried to make it official.
Yeah. In my mind, like a hard launch is like you posted about it to social, maybe, or perhaps issued some sort of ultimatum. Like maybe there's an event and it's like, this is my boyfriend, and that sort of caused this. And so I think, again, this might seem catastrophic right now. This is actually going to turn out to be the best thing that possibly could have happened.
Yeah.
Because you did something, which I agree, you don't hard launch something unless you're already on the same page. This situationship, after damn near a decade, it wasn't going to ever get to the place of a real hard launch.
Yeah, I have a lot of questions about what your friends were saying during this seven-year period. Was it the best you could get from this situation that you wanted to be a relationship for a longer period of time? Were you afraid to be alone?
Yeah.
What was going on over 7 years? Get out there. Get out there, you know?
Dating after 30, I think, is way better. I think, there's just... there's some level of maturity. And if you're not looking for a situationship, there's people who are not looking for that as well. But maybe take some time for yourself. This is from Bass Prefect. Can we at least get some validation for the aromantic and asexual of those of us who are happy to be single and are content with our friendships? This speaks to my larger premise about Valentine's Day, which is that all of February should be about Valentine's Day. And it should be a celebration of all different kinds of love. I know you say you're aromantic, but say love for our friends. And we could have sort of a Valentine's Day tree, or there could be some sort of like different ceremonies. So I think this is these are definitely forms of love or a rejection of love, in however you would describe it. So I will validate you in that, and also I do celebrate you, because if you accept that you're aromantic and asexual, boy, that just sounds like you have a lot more free time. You just relax. That sounds nice.
Yeah, I also what is the value? If you're happy in your circumstance, why do you need the validation? I think if you there's some sort of insecurity inside of this. If you need to be told that what you're doing is okay,
and for that reason, we won't do it.
Why do you think the world, especially on Valentine's Day, I imagine there's a lot of pressure to be like, not only should you be coupled, but if you're someone for whom that none of that makes any sense, it's this overwhelming feeling where you do need validation. So I'm happy to validate you.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. I've thought about it. And I've received the underlying message of Sarah's joke. And I agree, you should be validated. You should feel validated. I guess it just sort of, also there are a lot of people that really are want to be in couples and are not. And I don't, I think sometimes that gets also, people are told that they're wrong for having the feeling of being sad that they're single. And that's somehow they need to be comfortable with that. It's like, maybe, sure, but I don't think there's anything wrong with people who really want to be in relationships being upset they're not in one.
Yeah, I think there is a level of dismissiveness whenever people try to describe their internal experience. They're like, and other people are like, don't worry about that. And it's like, but yet I am worrying about it. It's Valentine's Day and that's how I feel.
Yeah, your feelings are valid, whatever they are.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, next
up. That's right.
Up.
That's right.
Oh, here is a good one. Comment from Vanna White Trash. Great name. Real Valentine's Day issue. I'm seeing a nice man and we like each other a lot. And we're at that weird point where we're like, someone needs to drop the L-bomb first, aka say I love you. How do I make him do it first?
LOL.
LOL. What do you guys think?
I mean, the most important thing is to never be vulnerable and win at all costs.
Did from both your relationships, did you guys say I love you first or did the other person?
I did not say it first.
Would you have?
Because I'm a winner.
Great. Well,
I would have if you hadn't.
I honestly don't remember, but it was in part because we had had a friendship where there was love, but it wasn't that kind of love for a time. So I don't really know. It sort of was more of a smooth evolution. Because it wasn't
So you guys still haven't said it?
Haven't said it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're going to say it on the altar?
Saying it on the altar for the first time.
Love it.
I'm like, I love spending time with you.
Yeah, couch it. Yeah. Keep them on their toes.
Yeah, I think say it first. Babe, say it first. Say it first.
Yeah,
say
just
it
just
first.
Say it,
say exactly. it first.
Literally.
Say
right.
it first.
Say it first.
Say it first.
I want to do a different chance. Sorry, I'll go on board.
Say it first.
Say it first. Say it first. Say, because here's the thing. Here's the thing. You say it first.
There's... It all falls apart.
Well, so you have the fine. Only reason to not say it first is if there's a possibility that saying it first turns what could be a relationship that will go the distance into one that won't. You have to, that's the only reason to not say it first. Because if you say it first and they're not ready yet, that's real information. But if the relationship continues and they ultimately say it, no problem. You felt weird, but you moved things along. You say it, they say it, we're doing great. You say it, they don't say it, they realize that you aren't, that you're feeling things they're not. It ends it where it should have already ended. You're kind of saving yourself some time. So you have to come up with a version in which you are on the path to a lifelong happiness, but you saying this too soon, even though this should be your person, blows it up somehow. And I just find that to be an unlikely circumstance. I just, if they're the right person, they're the right person.
Right, exactly. It's, I think this question of when to say it sits heavy on everybody's soul. And I do think it's gendered. I think, like, as a woman, there is this idea that the man should always say it first, like the Ethel Cain lyric. I only want him if he says it first to me. And I think that in order to have real love, you must take a risk. And again, it might blow up in your face, but that's why you got to do it on Valentine's Day. If anyone is saying I love you, proposing, I think it's good to have like the really heavy stuff on Valentine's Day, because then it's like almost a day where you have to do this.
And then he feels guilty because it's Valentine's Day, so he has to say it back.
Yeah, that's another great option.
Emotional manipulation.
That's the other
great
option.
That's how you do it.
Get him to fake it. Fake it till he makes it. All right, let's pause it there and we'll be right back.
Hey, don't go anywhere. There's more of Love It or Leave It coming up.
Love It or Leave It, brought to you by Sundays for Dogs. Is your dog's food created to maximize your dog's quality of life or to extend the food's shelf life? Think about it. And while you do, let us tell you about Sundays. Sundays was founded by a veterinarian and mom, Dr. Tori Waxman, who got tired of seeing so-called premium dog food full of fillers and synthetics. So she designed Sundays, air-dried, real food made in a human-grade kitchen using the same ingredients and care you use to cook for yourself and your family. Every bite of Sundays is clean and made from 100% meat and superfoods with no kibble. That means no weird ingredients you can't pronounce and no fillers. Compared to kibble or other brands out there, Sundays invest 50 times more in its ingredients to ensure premium quality, because your dog deserves food made with care, not in the interest of cost cutting. And the best part, you just scoop and serve. There's no freezer, no thaw or prep, no mess, just nutrient-rich, clean food that fuels their happiest, healthiest days, so you get more of them to share together. We're huge fans of Sundays for Dogs. We want to take great care mm-hmm. of our dogs. You know, Pundit has the run of this office.
We love her.
She basically, my boss, comes in and out of any meeting, anytime she wants. Pretty disrespectful, honestly, at most start times, end times, records. So that's why you want to have good food for your dog, like Sundays for Dogs. So make the switch to Sundays. Go right now to sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50 and get 50% off your first order. Or you can use code loveit50 at checkout. That's 50% off your first order at sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50, sundaysfordogs.com/loveit50, or use code loveit50 at checkout.
If you love Positive America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.
Okay, we're back.
All right, great. You know? So questions about Love It's relationship coming up next. I would love to know from Love It, as someone who did the long term but also knew so quickly with Ari, how do you know that you're with the one? Also, that's for you, Lazarus. Do you also think that you are with the one?
I don't think I believe in the one mm-hmm. as a concept. I think it's a little silly.
I don't know if you have to believe in the one, but I think you can take the question as meaning, how did you know you were with a one? That could be the one
that you're going to spend perhaps not all of your life, but for the foreseeable future together.
Yeah. Again, I don't know if there's a particular moment so much as an accumulation of moments.
That is a very good question. I have no idea. I will just say that, you know, sometimes we talk about relationships and what they are separate from how we are and how we're all changing. And I think that I was at a place in my life where it was possible for me to realize that this was the right person and to have that person be able to realize that I could be the person for them because of how I had changed and grown. And I think sometimes it's not about the one, like we were saying, it's more like, can two people be in the right places in their own lives and like be who the other person needs? And that to me is a lot of what it's about.
I feel like one good rule of thumb is one time we went to the Monterey Bay Aquarium and I had half a wheat gummy. And then we walked past these eels that were like sort of straight up, like vertical. Their heads were just pointed straight up. And I thought I was going to pass out and I had to go outside and sit down. And then we were just there for 2 hours while I had a panic attack. And I was like, oh, this is the person that I want next to me while I'm too high at the aquarium. And I feel like if that's the person you want next to you when you're too high at the aquarium, that's a good start.
Great. Love it. All right. This is a comment from Caden. I just got engaged. How long is too long to actually plan and go through anything with the wedding? The idea of planning anything makes me want to vomit, especially this year working in politics. But I don't want it to become an afterthought or a when we have time, aka never thing. Any advice here is helpful.
Well, I'll say this. I've been engaged twice, and I have some tips from both.
Great. Lay it on us.
This is going to be kind of old-fashioned.
Ooh.
All right. I'm going to have an old-fashioned point of view. If you're going to get engaged, you should be planning a wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that there are reasons people get engaged long before. Maybe there's like they have a long academic period ahead of them. There's financial reasons, whatever. I get that. But my view is if you are engaged, it is because you are engaged to be married. And you should at least have an understanding that the engagement period is about planning to get married because it's a liminal time.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's strange if you're not heading towards getting married. Otherwise, it's just not, it doesn't really mean anything. That's my very stodgy old school notion. And then my view of it is if you want to be engaged, it's because you want to get married and just get to planning. Life is complicated. Life is going to be hard. There are going to be things that stand in the way of it. Find the time that you can do it the best way you can do it, the way you want to do it. Don't do it the way anyone tells you you have to do it, and just do it. That can be a big wedding you're planning a year in advance. That could be a small courthouse wedding. That can be a party in your backyard. That could be a trip you go on with just your spouse. That could be calling your parents to tell them you just got married, and then your mother's like, what the fuck? Whatever it is for you, if you want to get engaged, it's because you want to get married, so fucking get married. That's how I feel about it.
I like that. I think that makes sense just because you're not the only one planning a wedding at Crooked right now. And I feel like whenever I talk to anyone who is planning a wedding, they're like, I just got to get through all these decisions. It's almost like when you start, like then it's almost like you complete it. So it's like you're taking a step off a cliff that you don't know what's next. But then once you take the step, you can keep going. I don't know, like land appears. So just do it.
Yeah, the advice I was given that I think is very good advice is a wedding is a beast that you and your partner are fighting together.
Cute. I think that's sweet.
How I said it sounds negative.
Yeah.
I will also say, like, you know, I remember when I was like on that show Survivor and I was feeling bad about it. And I was like, how could you possibly not try to enjoy every aspect of this even when it doesn't go your way? You couldn't have chose this more. You couldn't have made this happen more. And so, like, we're planning a wedding right now, and there are moments where it's not, like, tense, but it is, like, you're having a disagreement or there's a lot of decisions you have to make. And it's, like, making sure that even throughout the process, you're actually not having a bad time because the whole process should try to make it as pleasant as possible. But the other thing is, when you get engaged and plan a wedding, you suddenly have all these kinds of conversations you don't normally have with your partner. It's, like, actually, like, a drill for life, because you're like figuring out family dynamics and there's relationship dynamics. Mm-hmm. There's like taste questions. There's how you're going to interact with each other's families. There's like big decisions. There's money involved. Like it's like all those things. It's actually, I think, an interesting like kind of like dress rehearsal for life.
I like that.
So mm-hmm. that part of it too.
Yeah. Think about how all the things you're about to learn about your partner. And maybe they'll be thrilling to you.
Good luck, Caden.
And then finally, we have a comment from Constant Cupcake. I honestly just want an update that Lovett is hard at work on the rom-com screenplay that we all deserve based loosely on his and Ari's relationship. And this discussion question from Bill, do we have favorite Valentine's Day rom-coms? Are the best ones from the 90s? Are there any good ones in the new Netflix era? Are you guys rom-com people?
I like rom-coms.
Do you love a 90s rom-com?
Yeah.
Which ones? What are we?
Julia Roberts across the board, Meg Ryan across the board.
Notting Hill.
I think mine, or one of mine at least, The Wedding Singer. People forget about it because it's a comedy, but Adam Sandler, Drew Barrymore, nobody does it like them.
I think Notting Hill to me is the number one. It's so charming. It's so funny. Every single relationship and moment pays off in the movie. Like even the scenes that we're just meeting the comedic side characters, everything that's happening with them comes back around at the end of the movie. It shouldn't work. Mm-hmm. It shouldn't work that Julia Roberts plays a movie star, but it does. And they're both so good in it. And I always feel like, and then there's When Harry Met Sally, which is also obviously great.
Incredible.
And
perfect movie.
Yeah. There's a way in which like When Harry Met Sally is like number one kind of, I don't know, it's like number one New York Jewish category, and then Notting Hill is like number one British category. Mm-hmm. And it's like depends on your mood.
I agree with that.
That's how I feel about it. I remember we had Rob Reiner on Love It or Leave It. It's obviously sad to think about. But I believe what he said when we asked him, can men and women be friends? He was like, nah, not really. And yeah. then it was like, what do you think about people in these throuples? He was like, no.
I believe he brought up polyamory. Like he was just like, can you this polyamory? But it was just such a funny Rob Reiner way to approach it, where I don't know. It just seems like a lot of work.
I also didn't realize that Rob Reiner changed the ending of When Harry Met Sally after he met his wife.
What was it going to be?
It was that they did not wind up together.
Yeah, he made the right choice.
Yeah.
What a bummer of an ending that would have been.
I know.
And as for writing a romantic comedy, when am I working on it? When am I going to do a screenplay? I could barely finish a screenplay when I was a screenwriter. That was my job, and I barely could finish the damn things.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens at the wedding. Maybe it'll be a lot of hijinks. You can just fashion it into
some kind of heist.
Yeah, we're going to rob you. We're going to come to your wedding. We're going to rob you, love it.
Oh, a heist.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, me Lazarus.
A crack really team.
Just like a floodlight comes on and we just see you kind of freeze in your balaclavas like. Mm.
And you'll know it's from our terrible posture. That's the thing. You won't be able to hide it.
I mean, Sarah has good posture.
Don't drag. Because his chair's uncomfortable.
Don't drag Sarah into our godforsaken posture issues. Unfair to her. Before we go, as always these days, it's time for Love It or Leave It's breakout new end segment, Second Thoughts, where we go back and talk about the things we regret from the very episode we're recording.
Yes.
One, look, I wasn't personally saying that I thought Coley was, attractive. I was sort of implying. Because I was comparing to the green M&M.
Do you think Coley's more attractive than the green M&M?
No, I don't.
Okay, that's all I needed to hear.
I don't.
I believe it.
I don't.
One more thing about Coley. The name Coley, very first thought.
It's like Towley from South Park.
Right.
I think I like it because it's first thought. If they thought 1 second later, I'd say, what have you done?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
Look at what they think of us. Look at what these Trump people think of this country. That they think that
morons.
They think we're fucking
slobs.
Morons. They think we're slobs and morons just waiting for a mascot like Coley to make Cole seem just a little bit sweeter to us. They think of us, we are rubes to them. We are dumb fucking marks to them.
Yeah.
All of them. Fuck them. God damn it. Fuck Coley. Any second thoughts for you, Sarah?
I think I crushed it.
I'm going to marry Lady Coley. If they do that, I'll marry Coley.
Hmm.
That's good.
Yeah.
Coley's got money.
We'll check in next year at Valentine's Day.
Any second thoughts from you, Hallie, before we go?
I nailed it. I fucking crushed this.
And that is the end of our very special Valentine's Day episode. Love It or Leave It. We'll be back quicker than a boomerang's toss. I hope you sluts have a beautiful Valentine's Day.
Got it.
I don't even know how to make your mouth do it. And don't forget to kiss your Sheilas. That wasn't bad.
That wasn't bad.
And nope, that was better the first time. Don't forget to kiss your Sheilas.
There we go.
And don't forget to kiss your Sheilas.
What were we chanting earlier?
Say it first.
Say it first. Say it first. Love it or leave it. It's love it or leave it.
If you're already scrolling endlessly, which we know you are, don't forget to follow us at Crooked Media on Instagram, TikTok, and all the other ones for original content, community events, and more. You can also find Love It or Leave It on YouTube for videos of your favorite segments and other YouTube-exclusive content. And if you want to type our praises or rip us a new one, consider dropping us a review. Finally, you can join Crooked's Friends of the Pod subscription community for ad-free Love It or Leave It and Pod Save America episodes, subscriber-exclusive pods, and more. Sign up at crooked.com/friends. Love It or Leave It is a Crooked Media production. It is written and produced by me, John Lovett, and Lee Eisenberg. Kendra James is our executive producer. Bill McGrath is our producer. And Kennedy Hill is our associate producer. Hallie Kiefer is our head writer. Sarah Lazarus, Jocelyn Kaufman, Peter Miller, Alan Pierre, and Subha Agarwal are our writers. Jordan Cantor is our editor. Kyle Seglin and Charlotte Landis provide audio support. Stephen Colon is our audio engineer. Our theme song is written and performed by Shersher. Thanks to our designer, Sammy Caderna-Rees, for creating and running all of our visuals, which you can't see because this is a podcast. And thanks to our digital producers, David Tolles, Claudia Shang, Mia Kelman, Delon Villanueva, and Rachel Gajewski for filming and editing video each week. Our head of production is Matt DeGroat, and our production staff is proudly unionized with the Writers Guild of America East.
If you love Pod Save America and want more of my political analysis, you should subscribe to my newsletter, The Message Box. I'm Dan Pfeiffer, former senior advisor to Barack Obama, and in Message Box, I break down what's actually happening in politics and what it's going to take to beat Donald Trump and MAGA. If you follow every poll and every twist and turn in the campaign, Message Box is for you. This isn't just hot takes. Every edition delivers clear analysis, behind-the-scenes insight, and practical strategy you can actually use, whether you're working on a race, organizing your community, or just trying to win the argument in your group chat. So if you're listening to this, hit pause, go to your browser, and head to crooked.com/yeswedan, because I have a special offer for Crooked Media fans. You'll get 20% off a Message Box for an entire year. So go to crooked.com/yeswedan.